Prisoner rights groups in New York say too many prisoners with mental health issues are being placed in solitary confinement and that plans to increase the number of solitary confinement cells at Rikers Island are misguided. The groups are citing the August death of a young man with mental health issues who died mysteriously while in solitary. They say the incident shows what could go wrong when inmates, including many whose cases have not gone to trial, are kept in solitary for 23 hours a day. WBAI's Jose Santiago discussed the issue with Jennifer Parrish of the Urban Justice Center, one of the member groups of the New York City Jails Action Coalition.
The New York City Jails Action Coalition is organized around several issues in the city jail system, including brutality and solitary confinement, as well as the need for treatment and programs in jail and transparency within the DOC. But we're specifically focused on solitary confinement at the moment because the Department of Corrections has expanded the number of solitary confinement cells in the jail system, even though the population in the city jails has dropped dramatically over the last 10 years. They now have over 1,000 solitary confinement cells for a jail population that has between 12 and 13,000 people. You have about a 1 in 13 chance of winding up in a solitary confinement cell there. This is in stark contrast to what's going on in the rest of the country, where there are states such as Mississippi and Maine that are moving to reduce their solitary confinement population because it's been proven to be a really an ineffective way of trying to reduce violence and trying to address problems within the jail system. It has been shown to actually cause mental distress to people, and certainly for people with mental illness, it exacerbates whatever disability they have, especially for people with depression, schizophrenia, bipolar disorder. It can certainly cause them to decompensate. In addition, people who've never had mental health issues can find themselves developing them when they spend that many hours a day locked down alone in a cell.
Now, I see where you were also specifically raising a recent case where someone died in solitary confinement. Can you maybe tell us about that?
One of the big concerns that people have around solitary confinement is that it can lead people to harm themselves and to commit suicide. So we have, you know, certainly within the state prison system, more suicides occur in the solitary confinement cells than in the rest of the prison population. And recently here at Rikers Island, a young man who died in late August had been placed in solitary confinement in a unit that's specifically for people with mental health issues. He'd been there about 2 months, and he passed away on August 19th. So this case is an ongoing investigation. We don't know whether he took his own life or whether it was actually the result of actions taken by the correction officers because he had been brutalized by them in the past. But we do know that his father has been told by the medical examiner that he died of a poisoning. So we feel like the concerns that we've been raising with Department of Corrections are just, you know, dramatized by this tragic case of what can happen when someone is in solitary confinement. And it also shows that having a special mental health solitary confinement unit does not address the problem whatsoever.
And I see that you're saying that at Rikers and here in New York City, they're looking to increase the number of solitary confinement cells, while in many other states and jurisdictions, they actually have seen the wisdom of decreasing the number?
That's exactly the case, and they have already made a tremendous increase. They're planning on increasing it further, but they're already up to, I believe, 1,035 cells.
If I'm not mistaken, isn't there some litigation now about this issue ongoing?
There has been litigation brought regarding the brutality at Rikers Island. Mm-hmm. The Nunez case, which was filed, I believe, or expanded into a class action in June by Legal Aid Society's Prisoners' Rights Project. And it does raise the issue of solitary confinement to some extent because frequently what happens is when correction officers brutalize people, they claim that the perpetrator was actually the person that they brutalized and end up giving them infractions and they wind up in solitary confinement. So their complaint lays out some examples of that, but the case is not specifically regarding solitary confinement.
I see. So, in general, what would you like to see by way of a response from, I guess, the different entities that would be involved? I guess this involves a city government at all levels.
Right. Well, certainly, I mean, Department of Corrections can do something automatically to change the course that they're going, but they seem resistant to do so. Today we had a demonstration outside of the Board of Corrections. One thing that we hope to do is to convince the Board of Correction, which is the city body that has oversight of Department of Corrections, and they set what are called minimum standards that require the Department of Corrections to behave in certain ways. For instance, it limits the number of people who can be in a housing area. And we would like to see the Board of Corrections set standards regarding solitary confinement. So, for example, one thing that they could say is that you can't place people with serious mental illness in solitary confinement at all, or you can't place 16 to 18-year-olds in these sorts of confinements. And if you are going to use solitary confinement, it should be limited to, you know, certain situations, maybe the most extreme cases, or you could have a requirement that people be, you know, separated from the general population but not held in these extreme conditions for 23 hours a day. Mm-hmm. So we believe that the Board of Correction should take action regarding this. Certainly the City Council as well could take steps to limit the use of solitary confinement in the